Hi, I'm Oki, and welcome to Tell Me About Your Book. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Tell Me About Your Book. I'm really excited to talk to author Jonathan Festmeyer, who's an author of the trilogy, The Adventures of Bodacious Creed, which is a steampunk zombie western, which I'm wildly, wildly curious about because everything surrounding it just sounds so fascinating, but I didn't know it was to be combined together. But hi, Jonathan, how are you today?
I'm good.
I started off with me not knowing truly what a steampunk like western is. Can you kind of give me a little idea? I mean, I can imagine it, but I would love to hear from the author what it actually is.
It's pretty simple. The genre is actually, people often just call it weird western, which are westerns with just often science fiction and or fantasy and horror elements. And a lot of weird western is steampunk, because when you do technology in the 1800s, mm-hmm. it tends to be retrofuturistic, aka steampunk.
Wow.
So
that seems
so. That's why.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, most steampunk, mostly people think of Victorian England when they think steampunk. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But the Wild West has been used for steampunk and that kind of thing for a while. And it's, I mean, since before it was called steampunk, since the show Wild Wild West, you know, when you had this kind of retrofuturistic technology in the Wild West there too. So it's been a thing and it's getting more popular. I was actually went to Comic-Con this year and I was on a panel called Welcome to the Weird West with some other really great Weird West authors. And yeah, one of the things they talked about, I wasn't even totally aware of it, but it's that apparently Weird West is getting more popular. People are getting more interested in it. So I'm glad to be in this genre, just doing something.
Yeah, and I'm glad to be talking to you like this, because it's definitely a genre I wasn't, to be honest, aware of. Like it looks like something that would make sense like to read about as far as like entertainment and really getting into, honestly, Bodacious Creed. And so I'm just happy to get to know what this is. But let's talk about your trilogy, which are fully published. But can you tell me about the first one, just to jumpstart us off about what your trilogy is about?
So the first one is about a U.S. Marshal named James Creed. And he is after a criminal and basically serial killer, but an outlaw named Corwin mm-hmm. Blake, this just psychotic young guy. You know, I think Billy the Kid, only this guy actually goes and like just has murdered families and stuff. He's like a bad dude. Right. And so Creed's after him. He tracks him down to Santa Cruz, California. So everything is very coastal, you know? So sometimes you think of the Weird West more like Arizona and stuff, or like, you know, the prairie regions, whatever. This is very close. And so it's a little different, but still western. And he tracks the guy down there, and I'm not giving too much away here, because I mean I am, but it's right on the it's right on the back of the book. It's the premise of the whole thing. So this outlaw Corwin Blake kills him, shoots him in the heart, and then this mysterious young woman resurrects him. And so that's where the zombie thing comes in. So it's a different sort of zombie. Although when you read, right. you start to see, if you read the book, you'll see. I can tell more if you have questions. But he's very aware. But he, you know, when he comes to, his mind is still like healing. So he's missing a lot of memories. He feels like he should be dead, but he has this like burning desire to just take down this criminal and as a actually a friend of mine who reviewed the book put it, as just a desire to do justice. And so he escapes from where she healed him, where she resurrected him, and goes from there.
Gotcha. Did you approach this to write it as a trilogy from the get-go, or it kind of manifested itself?
I started it to be, I wanted it to be a series, but I wasn't sure exactly how that would all play out. So once the first book does mostly wrap up, but there's definitely cliffhanger stuff. So, you know, stuff that goes into the next books. When I went to write the second book, I realized, so I did, between the first and second book, I wanted him to go to San Francisco. So I started researching San Francisco at the time, and I just, like, you know, just fell into this pool of just so much information. And San Francisco was crazy in the 1870s, and all through the 1800s. It was, you know, from when it was founded in 1850 on, it was nuts. A lot of crime, a lot of just really interesting characters and history. And I realized that there were things about it that I wanted to cover that seemed important to cover. And so I had an idea for what I wanted to have happen in the second book, but that ended up getting split into two books because I'm like, okay, I have to take care of this stuff first and then go on to the finale. Right. And at that point I started to, like, really understanding the arc of the series.
But going back to writing Creed though, like, how was your journey in writing his character? Because you have to kind of carry him throughout the whole series because he's a main person. How was writing him? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he has a lot going on. I mean, in some ways, he's an archetypal sort of, you know, lawman who wants justice, but he's also, but he gets, like, abilities. Like, after he's resurrected, he becomes more invulnerable. Like, his bones actually become as hard as steel.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so there's a point where he's shot in one of his shoulder blades, and it doesn't, I mean, and he takes the bullet out, but he realizes that would have that it would have had to be really hard, his bones, to not shatter from that. So he,
big changes.
Yeah. So changes. He's much stronger. He's really strong after he's resurrected. He's faster. His awareness is keener. His eyes need to be replaced. He has mechanical eyes and he has, like, night vision, and people do have, like, night vision goggles in this world. Right. But he just has it.
Right.
He just has it sort of built in. He can even do, like, kind of zoom in his vision, like, telescopically. So he's, like, kind of a superhero.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know, man, yes. I want to see him come alive. I mean, obviously we will, but
yeah, sort of like on the power level of like Captain America or something like that.
That's so cool. Yeah. As much as I want to read the books and be entertained, I totally want to see this in a film or something, because this is so cool.
I would love that too. I'd love them to make them into a TV series. Cause
yeah. Or when you go to Comic-Con, somebody has to dress up as him. Unless you've done that already.
I haven't done that. That would make me... I've dressed in, like, steampunk stuff. Not really as him.
But I want to see Bodacious Creed, though, as yeah, walking around.
His skin's, like, paler, and he has mechanical eyes, and he has this thing, this metal unit on the left side of his head. It's on the right side of his head, that around his temple, that keeps him alive. Because there's a thing with this technology, once you've been resurrected, and he's resurrected after being dead a couple days. So once you're resurrected, you're basically alive again, you know, but your skin goes pale. And he needs, if this thing is disrupted, he dies again.
Right. Because they all have to have some sort of weakness, right?
Some sort of weakness, yeah.
Right, to really get your juices flowing as far as a storyline. So can you tell me a little bit more about what he goes through?
The way it works is part of what alters his body so he's stronger and everything. But it also, and his hearing gets better too, like really good too. You know, it's a liability too, because if right. someone manages to, you know, break it off him or something, then he doesn't, like, die immediately, but he starts dying and he goes out. So, yeah.
So can I safely say that he was your favorite character to write in the series, that you really held on to him? Can you tell me another one?
One of them. Yeah. Okay. So the young woman who resurrects him, I love her too. And there has been just one person who accused her of being a Mary Sue, but there's always somebody, right?
Right.
She's an extraordinary person, but she can't do like everything. So she's not a Mary Sue, but she's actually his daughter. And she was his long lost daughter. He thought she was dead. And that's a big, big backstory behind that that's in the book. But she's really brilliant. And she made her way at 16 out from Virginia to California. And she actually disguised herself as a boy so she could, you know, more easily get work as she was traveling. You know, she wasn't able to pay to go on a train the whole way. But so in California, she makes it to Santa Cruz. She's running out of money. The only job available to her is to be a prostitute. So she goes to work at this brothel. And while she's there, she works on this technology that is part of what drives the whole technology of the world now. So she comes up with a way to harness the luminiferous ether, which is a whole thing. But in my world, it's something she's able to get power from. And then she goes to work for a kind of this rich mogul who lives locally, and they end up creating these advanced steam engines that bring a lot more power and creating robots. And so it really, like, there's a technological revolution that happens, not just because of her. There are a lot of other people working on it too, but she's one of the key minds, partly because she negotiated a really good contract because she's smart. She is pretty rich now. So after a few years, she went back and she bought the brothel and became the madam there. She had a bunch of it rebuilt. So underneath there's her lab. It's a secret, right? So, but that's where she resurrects Creed. After he comes to town, she's like, holy crap, my dad's here. You know, maybe I can see him again, you know.
Right.
And then he gets killed and she resurrects him. So, yeah. So she's an awesome character. There have been a lot of people women who really love her as a character. And I'm writing a spinoff series about her now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. That has to be another character to
see. That's another one I really, really love. Oh, I would love to see her watch. That would be cool. I have a lot of characters I really like. I mean, there's really a huge cast. I make sure to have a lot of diversity. And I mean, it did exist then in the Old West. And a lot of Old Westerns is going to be mostly white people. But so I try to stick mostly to, I mean, there are people from all over, especially in San Francisco. But I've mostly been sticking to people who would be a little more common. So there are a fair amount of Mexican characters. And well, actually in the Santa Cruz stuff and even more so in... when he gets to San Francisco, a lot of Chinese characters. One guy who's a really important character in the series, I don't want to give too much away, but he's French, but he's half of Arabic descent.
Okay.
Yeah. So I like to make sure that the different types of people are represented. And frankly, I mean, it makes for just some great interactions and great characters. So
yeah, it's definitely sounding out like a really character-driven trilogy.
Yeah. But
yet it seems like the background of Western, of a whole steampunk scene, is just as prevalent as the characters. I think this is developed so well and so fascinating.
Yeah, it all works together. I think they're
right.
I think that, I mean, the Old West, it's like so American and so kind of familiar to us.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in the Wild West, whether you have it be Weird West or not, there are just so much potential for stories and adventure and stuff. It's almost like a fantasy world in that sense.
Yeah, I love that you can add, you know, like the zombie element to it, the steampunk element to it, and it still makes a great story and world. You're welcome. So, Jonathan, but what is it about the steampunk part of your writing that you really love about that genre, about having to include it into a Western? What is it about it that attracts you so much?
Well, because I'm really into science fiction anyway. Mm-hmm. Science fiction and fantasy anyway. This really is much more science fiction, although I mean some people can maybe see some elements as kind of fantasy. I consider it all science fiction, even some stuff that is now coming into the series that is kind of spiritual and kind of on a like metaphysical, like I've kind of gone into like the whole exploring the spiritualism scene of that era. But I actually kind of see the stuff that's going on with it as coming from a sort of a scientific, like there's actually scientific explanations for what's going on. You know, that wouldn't really work in our world, but they do work with how science works in their world.
All right. I hear
you. But some people aren't going to see it that way, but that's, yeah.
Well, us as readers, we have to kind of suspend our belief when it comes to wanting to read something like this. And to me, once you build a world like that, where we're sold into whatever you say, because we want to be part of that world while we're reading it. So,
yeah. Well, I think part of really helping people to suspend disbelief is grounding it in things that are believable. I think it's kind of easy to do that with the Old West, you know, because it's a gritty setting. It can be, you know, kind of dark. And and then you just, when you have the characters with their actual, you know, believable emotions and motivations, I don't know. I think all of that, then you add in the steampunk stuff and the zombies and stuff. And like, for me, I don't want to go too far with it. So it's like too fantastical. I mean, there is fantastic stuff in it. There are humanoid robots in my,
but there's a point where, all right, this is a little too much.
Yeah, but I try to like keep it like, okay, it's kind of believable the technology might make that kind of a jump, you know, with given these things. And
all right, there has to be something tangible that we can like relate to a little bit.
Yeah, there's and there's a lot to
flow, right?
And there's a lot in there, yeah.
What else can you tell me about you as an author, Jonathan?
I'm such a big geek, and I've been into, you know, fantasy and science fiction since I was very young. Started writing when I was like 10. Basically, I've wanted to be a writer my whole life. So, you know, I'm actually one of those kids who's doing what he wanted to do grow up.
That's great.
I'm what I wanted to be, you know, when I grew up. So
right, because your trilogy isn't the only thing you've done. And then on top of that, you're writing beyond this trilogy.
And I have a lot planned. Like I have the trilogy about Anna that I'm working on right now. It's a little tricky in this first book because a lot of it overlaps with the in time with the first series.
Okay. But would people need to read the Bodacious Creep trilogy
It wouldn't hurt, but I'm trying to do it to where if you want to, you can come in on the first, her first book. Although then you might want to go back and read the others. You know?
Well, I hope people do. I hope people do all that.
So. Yeah, you too. Thank you. Yeah. So I just, you know, worked on my writing and done a lot of reading, done a lot of, when I was younger, you know, studying about writing, reading books on writing. I took a course through, I took some creative writing classes in school. In high school, my creative writing class, actually in my senior year, I gave me a really solid foundation on a lot of things. And then I, in my 20s, I took it'd be online if it still exists, but it was via mail then. So that was in the mid-90s. I took a writing course through Writer's Digest schools where I was paired up with a professional writer, and that's Lee Killock. If anybody wants to look her up, K-I-L-L-O-U-G-H. And so she helped me with some short stories, and that helped me just to be a better writer. And yeah, so I've just been doing it a long time.
Well, congrats on this trilogy and beyond, and your previous books on top of that. So Jonathan, where can we get your books?
But go to my website. Yeah, jonathanfestmeyer.com. And this trilogy is shown on the main page, and it'll have links to where you can get them. So places include, obviously, Amazon. They're all out on Audible as well. And they're on Amazon, Audible, Kobo, Apple Books, and a bunch of other ones. I don't know what apps to use, but you may be able to check them out digitally from their library apps you can check them out from. So yeah, they're all over the place. So
that's cool. Yeah. Thank you for being here. But before we end this though, how has it been since you published your trilogy?
Great. It's been growing a lot. And I have noticed that with the publication of each new book in the trilogy, I get more sales in general.
Oh, that's nice.
Now, the first one, if you want to get it on digitally, you know, in ebook format, it's just 99 cents. The others are $3.99, but the first one's 99 cents because, and it's a long book too. I should sell it for more, but I want people to get into the series. So that makes it an easy entry. It's a long book. It's 120,000 words, which is about 50% longer than most, you know.
It is a big book. But yeah, hey, it's like I said,
it's a fun book. It's a lot. I think it's
pretty fun. It's steampunk, like you said, zombie and a western. That's a whole world build, just like any fantasy books to me. So yeah. Long book like that, I'm in for it.
Good. The next book's like half as long, then the next one is like basically average.
The normal size.
So, yeah. They vary, but I think it works, you know, for each book. So.
Right. Well, I want to say thank you again for being here and telling me about this world that you've created and a genre that we all need to get into more and more. Last minute thing you want to say, Jonathan, before we go today?
Yeah. Another fun thing you can check out, and you can do this from my website, if you go to the Creedverse link, because I call it the Creedverse, Bodacious Creed. Just for fun, check out if you're curious about more about this world, check out my World Anvil link there, because that goes to my series Bible. Now, readers, you know, the public can only see a limited amount of stuff there. I have so much stuff behind the scenes that would give spoilers that you can't see. That's my source material. But I do have like a for readers section that's got some of the main characters covered. There's an appendix section that I actually just have a lot public on because it doesn't hurt to have it public, where I've done articles on just a lot of things about that era. So I could easily look them up quickly and reference them about different languages and cultures and all kinds of things. So it's just kind of fun to browse through. And some of those, the information would be the same in our world and in the Creedverse, but some of it, things are a little different in the Creedverse, and you might find little Easter eggs if you look through it.
This reminds me a little bit whenever there's like a Dungeons and Dragons game and they will create like a website of the whole entire world.
Yeah.
AKA that's what my husband does. And
I play D&D. I love it. Yeah, I play
D&D. But you understand.
I understand, yeah. And that's what, and World Anvil's for that. It's actually for that. You might want to, if your husband's not aware of it, let him know. It's great for game worlds, any fictional world, for writers and game masters. It's like, I love it. So.
Ooh, I have a few authors that would love to know that as well that I've talked to.
Oh, yeah. It's so great. And I use it. I look up, you know, as I'm writing, if there's something I've forgotten about a character or when something happened or whatever, I go there and I look it up. And if I have something that I need to add, I can add it there. It's really cool.
It's like opening my eyes to a whole new thing. This is so cool. Because you've already opened my eyes and my mind for a steampunk Western. And now... even more reason to get to know your characters in your books. So, but thank you, Jonathan, for being here. This is fascinating. I hope you come back to talk to me when you have the World of Anna and everything else.
I'll probably have that out in hopefully less than a year, but it might be about a year. So maybe around then. That'd be great.
I'm going to hold you up to that, but I will talk to you next time, Jonathan. Thank you so much. This is such an interesting branch to get into as far as reading goes and getting to know you as an author and your world. But I will talk to you next time, Jonathan. Thank you.
Thank you. It was really good meeting you in person, too.
Yay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Tell Me About Your Book. Please continue to support indie authors and indie bookstores. And if you would love to support Tell Me About Your Book podcast, you can certainly do so by going to buymeacoffee.com/tellmepodcast. For a price of a coffee, you can support monthly for just $5. There's other tiers too in the memberships, and you can look at all the info about it, and I would certainly, certainly appreciate it. And of course, there's the other podcast, Books, Cats, and Snacks, where Katty and I talk all things book, and about her cats too. See you then.